testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Remember this. Words of wisdom. Be faithful with the small so God can give you the big. Be faithful with the small. Because today we have 2 kids. Be faithful with the small and God will give you the big. Never look at what's on the outside. Look at what God is doing on the inside. My God. You know, that's the thing. Today I'm going to be talking about sanctification. Sanctification of the body of Christ. Sanctification of God's people. Sanctification, cleaning us up, sanctifying us. God works. When a person gets saved, most of the work that God does in an individual, we can't see. We can't see it. We might see the effects of it because it comes out. Because our hearts are, it says, and we read that scripture, that it's a wellspring of life on the inside of us. When a person gets saved and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're saying this, Father, I agree with you sending your son Jesus to die upon the cross for me and paying the price of the penalty of sin. It had to be paid for. Lord, I accept what he did, that sacrifice. And in doing that, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he comes in and forgives us of everything that we have done wrong. From the time we were born, you know, whatever that we knew was sin, evil, till that day, Christ forgives us. And a work starts to happen on the inside of us. Here, on the inside of us, where Christ lives now, where we have been joined together with the Father, because we were separated because of evil and sin on our behalf. But when we accept Christ, Jesus brings us back together in reconciliation to the Father. The Father is here. We are here. We needed a bonding agent to bring us back in fellowship with him, because the fellowship with humanity was broken years ago with Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God and ate of whatever that fruit was. It broke that relationship. And so Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit knew that they had to do something. And they didn't just come up with a plan. They knew what was going to happen because God knew in the future that man would sin and evil would come in. But he set into motion that his Son would come and die upon the cross. People, as far as we know, in history, history with the Bible, history with all the other books, that has never been done ever before or after. Do you see how special we are to God? You know, we often wonder, when a third of the angels rebelled against God and took their side with Slewfoot, and siding with him, can you imagine? Just keep your mind here. And on this end is God that had all these angels that worshipped him, that did his bidding, you know, that did whatever he commanded them to do. They saw for umpteen ages of time where they saw the glory of the Father come about upon the throne. They saw the glory of the Son sitting next to the Father. They saw the glory of the Holy Spirit on the other side of him for umpteen ages and years. And yet you have a third that went with the the side of Lucifer, which was just another angel or archangel, if you want to put it that way. That Michael the archangel, you know, Lucifer was an archangel over certain things, and they pride got in the heart of old Lucifer, and he wanted to be above God. And they sided with him. A third of the angels, can you imagine? And yet, when they rebelled, God is on this side, and he had no mercy upon them. People, when I say no mercy, there was no mercy. When they sided with Slewfoot, they were condemned to hell. They were condemned to torment. They were condemned to agony and pain and deceit and ugliness. No mercy. But yet you have humanity that God showed mercy. We were made, it says, in the image of our Father, everyone of us, like him. And yet when Adam and Eve sinned because of the evilness of old Slewfoot, God came in with mercy. So much mercy that he killed some animals, made a sacrifice right there, used the skin of those animals, and made him some clothes. Mercy. Mercy. It says mercy built the bridge. Mercy. 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 The power of Almighty God. And now we have the benefits of the cross of Calvary. Getting back to where God starts to work mightily. And we can see in all of our lives, you know, some of us have been saved probably 30 years, 40 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, whatever it is. But we know this, that from the time we accepted Christ till today, God has done a mighty work in each and every one of us. Even when times we thought God was not working. Even when we thought God had abandoned us. Even when the times we're laying on our bed crying because we don't know what to do. Saying, Father, where are you? Help. And it seems like it may not come. But God was still working on the inside. See, God is working on each and every one of us to make us mighty soldiers in the kingdom of God. People, there's some work to be done. There's barriers and evil that has to be torn down. There's evil in this world that God is saying, rise up, my people. Rise up, my people, and take back what the devil has stolen from you. Take back what the devil has stolen from you. Take back what the devil has stolen from us. Yeah. Some things we've given him. Oh, that's honestly, huh? Yeah. Some things we've laid down and we'd rather sleep and do whatever else. God said, let's rise up. Come on now. And let's take on the kingdom of God. Let's do what God says to do and get things done for his kingdom. Time is too short, people. Time is too short. When somebody dies, and I know we know this, I have to keep saying it though. When somebody closes their eyes, if you want to say it that way, and gives up the ghost of life, that is it. Either they will be in heaven, or they will be in hell in the judgment. I said, well, Pastor, why do you keep kind of saying this? Because there's a teaching going around where you pray for these people. Prayer is null and void after they die, people. That's it. And I'm not talking about Joe Blow down the road. I'm talking about Christians that's supposed to know God. You know, there's another teaching going around. You know Creflo Dollar, huh? That you repent once and that's it, and you never have to repent again? How stupid is that? Yes, you have the initial repentance when you get saved. But let me tell you, there's a whole lot of repenting that God's saying we need to do to keep things right before him. We need to know the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God to get that Word inside of your heart so you can know what's good and right and what's evil and not right. We have to know it. We have to know it. But God started to do a work in us many years ago to sanctify us. Look at this. That's all intro. What's that? Oh. Amen. God is a good God, huh? In John chapter 7, verse 37. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look, it says this. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." One of the greatest, as it says in the comments there, one of the greatest comments ever or invitations ever given to humanity. If any man thirst, if any man, any man of mankind thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Father said, come, people. Come unto me. People, we are children of the living God. God is saying, and here we see Jesus has stood up and he said, look, if any of you thirst, come unto me and drink. The Father said, if you thirst and are hungry for me, come after me. Come after me. Thirst for me. Run to me. Thirst for the things of God. Sometimes I think, and even myself, all of us, and even in the church world, we don't want to run to God because God might say, give up a few things that we like to do. That's not right. Sometimes we don't want to give up some things. We want a little entanglement. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of entanglement. People, let's thirst after God. You might say, Pastor, I'm not thirsty for the things of God. Pray. Say, Father, make me thirsty. Like a man in the desert that has no water. And he's been walking for a day or two. He's thirsty. He's thirsty for physical water. But that's just an alignment of how we need to be thirsty for the things of God. The things of God. The things of God. Thirsting after him. Because he is doing a work on the inside of us. And as he works in us, Lord, help us never to be content with you, Lord God. Because we can get in that contentment place and say, well, I've made it. I know I'm saved. If I die, I go to heaven. You know, God has blessed me. I mean, he's given me this. He's given me that. I know the things of God. I know some of the Bible, you know. And just be content. We can never be in that contentment state. Because anytime we get in that contentment state, this is what's going to happen. You're going to start going backwards. Every time. You're going to start going backwards. So you have to always follow after God. Always pursue him in the things that he desires and wants you to do. Lord, give me a heart after you, Lord God Almighty. Give me a heart after you, Father. Give me a heart after the things of God. You know, hey, let's face it. We may not understand everything in that word. But Lord, help us to understand the things that we do know. And Lord, help us understand the things we don't know, Lord. Give it to us, Lord. Help us to consume that word and put it in our hearts and put it in our lives. What I'm trying to do is light a fire in you. We cannot be content with the things of the world, with how they are in our personal lives. God is all stirring since we got saved, people. Come on, let that hunger and that thirst be evident in our hearts and in our lives. Remember when you first got saved? I used to really care about people that were going to hell? Remember when you first got saved, and I was talking about you too. How we used to get up early in the morning and seek the Father. And that has kind of swayed to some. You might say, Pastor, I don't have time. We don't have time not to. We have to do that. We got to take time so we can be what God wants us to be. So he can mightily move in us. Because that stirring is still stirring on the inside of us. I don't want to ever get up and preach without knowing God's on my backside. Walking with me. Huh, y'all know it, huh? You never want to get up to preach and think I can do it. Now, you learn some things by the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. But you see, one man can say a word or a story, and it falls on deaf ears. Another man can get up and say the same story, and maybe not even as good as the first man, but because it's backed up by the power of God, this is the word, it goes forth and moves the people. See, all God says for us to do is preach the gospel. He didn't say we had to bring them in. He didn't say that we had to save them because we can't do it. He didn't say we have to do whatever. God says, preach the gospel. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And when we do that, it's the responsibility of the Father to send the Holy Spirit to activate that word and penetrate the hearts of God's people and the unbeliever. That's the power of Almighty God. That's what God says. We'll make things happen. It's not all the lighting, which we need lights. You know, it's not all the whatever. Not all those things, people. But it's the power and the anointing and the presence of God. Look, how much God cares about us, people. How much he cares for you and for me. How great is he? Don't let that mountain stay in front of you. But it could be a mountain of disease, could be a mountain of pain, could be a mountain of children. Could be a mountain of whatever. Whatever it is. It can't be a mountain of your spouse. It can't be that, okay? We all have good spouses. Whatever it may be. But you remember how great God is. I know at times I've been there where you want to put your head down and just say, Lord, I don't know about this. 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 And turn around and go somewhere else and do something else. But you turn around and you look to him and say, Father, but you're in control. You're in control. The power and the anointing and the presence of God that can fall upon a place and change people's lives. And that's what we're looking to, for God to change us. Us. Thirsty. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I want you to turn, if you would, Psalms 103. There's Psalms, Proverbs. Psalms 103. Amen. We have to realize this, people. The gospel has to be number one. Amen. The gospel has to be number one. You might say, well, Pastor, what about my family and friends? Okay, God will take care of those things. But the gospel of Jesus Christ has to be number one, people. Look at this. It's talking about just giving thanksgiving to the Lord, but it's just the blessings of the Lord. We can't forget how God will bless his people. It says, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Look, forget not all his benefits. This is what it is. Number one, who forgives all your iniquities. We have a lot of iniquities. God forgives them all, people. You know, you don't know how many people I've talked to that have a hard time forgiving themselves. I mean, for things they've done, and they've done some bad stuff. Sin is sin. It's evil no matter what. But, you know, humanity looks at things, some are worse than others. But, you know, some things are hard. But God forgives. And when God forgives, you need to forgive yourself. Okay? Who heals all your diseases, my God. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Amen. Huh? My God, that's what I want, some good things satisfying my mouth here. With the word of God and some good gumbo, you know. We want some good food that satisfies us physically and spiritually. Huh? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He has made known his ways unto Moses and his acts upon Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You need to catch that. You need to read that again, verse 8. The Lord is merciful. That means he's merciful. That means when we go to him, he overlooks those things. He wants us to ask for forgiveness, but he's merciful. He doesn't want us to run like the rich man with his two sons, and one of them took all his money and everything and just ran. Ran with everything. Sold everything he had. Gave everything he had for stuff that wasn't good. Riotous living. Just not good living. But God, in his mercy, the Father stayed on that porch, fed that fatted calf, and was waiting for the son to come home. That's the God that we serve, people, who is merciful. That doesn't mean he wants us to sin. He doesn't want us to do evil. But he's merciful. When we do fail, when we do say something that's not right, when we do things and act upon our ignorance, that he is a merciful God, that we can hit our knees or we can get by ourselves and call upon him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for doing that. His mercy comes in. That's the power of Almighty God, people.
Amen.
You serve a merciful God and gracious. He's gracious to us to give us the things that we need. Thank God for this. He's slow to anger. How many of us, or whoever, something happens, man, we fly off the handle, boom, boom, that's it, boom. We say all kind of stuff. We do all kind of stuff. And then, oh, Lord, after it's all done, we just, oh, my God, oh, what did I do? What did I say? You know, we'll go ask forgiveness. But God is slow to anger. He's slow. That means he looks at us, and he knows the things that we go through, that he's not quick to anger, to do harm to us, but he's slow to it. You know why he's slow? Because that's his nature, in being slow to us in the time of the church age, in the time of grace and mercy. You look back in the Old Testament, you see things happening when the earth opens up because he just has enough. When the sky opens up with rain because he has enough. He wasn't too slow to anger back then. But he's slow to anger towards us today. Till the time ends. Look at this. And also, he's plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. The mercy of Almighty God. God is trying to do something. From the time we got saved, he's trying to sanctify us, get us cleaned up before him. You might say, well, Pastor, will his work ever end? No. His work will never end because we will never be perfect. I know the word says be perfect like Christ is perfect, but what he's saying is, not in the perfect sense that we think of it, but in the mature sense of the Word of God, to be mature like Him, to be like Him. There's no way we can be perfect. If we could be perfect, we didn't need Jesus to come. There's no way. There's no way. So He's saying, be mature in the things of God. Sanctification means to be set apart exclusively unto the Lord. We're all in that sanctification part of our lives in Christ, where we are being set apart for the things of God. God expects us, people, to live a separated life. You might say, Pastor, what if I fail? Will you get on your knees or whatever, and you call upon God for mercy and you ask forgiveness? But this is what has happened in 2018. The world has crept into the church. And you can't tell it apart from the world anymore. I hear people say, you know, yeah, I'm going to church, it's like a concert. A concert? My God, that offends me. It's not a concert. This is where we come to worship our God, our Lord, our Savior. It's not a concert. Well, the world has come in. There's so much divorce in the church that is no different from outside the church. And that's just one thing. And, you know, I'm not trying to. Hey, look. There's so much evil, pride, and arrogance. But you see, when the Spirit of God is not moving within a church, when the Spirit of God is not there, what comes in? And I'm not sure, I'm sure not saying we're better off than anybody else, but let me tell you this. We look to the God and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look to our God that He will sanctify us and draw people unto this place, that will accept Him as Lord and live a life that is pleasing unto Him. Unto Him. We cannot allow the body of Christ to become just like the world, so that the world will come in and accept it. And I was listening, somebody was telling me they had gone somewhere and to a church. And if I named it, you'd say, you'd know it. And they said they got in there and they were eating all kind of food in the church. They were eating all kinds of stuff, drinking all kinds of stuff. I mean, from pop to water to, you know, whatever. But, you know, and coffee. And in church. In church. I just don't understand that. And this, she didn't, you know, she said, when I left, I vowed never again. She said, I know my church is not perfect, but she said it's a whole lot better than that. People, we got, you know, you might say, well, is it wrong to... We have to live a separated life unto God. We got to do what is right and stay with what is right and leave beyond and leave to the back those things that aren't good. You know. And do what is right according to the scriptures. You know, most people think, well, if a church is doing right, and let me tell you, well, they, you know, if they're doing right, you know, they have a bunch of people, they must be doing right. But let me tell you what the scripture says. How many people were saved when the flood came? Noah, his wife, how many sons? And their wives? That's what, eight? Eight people were saved out of that flood. That's all. That's all. Never look at numbers. Never look at the things that the world says makes you successful. Always look at what God says in His Word. That will never fail. It says that He's merciful. He's graceful unto us. He's a merciful God unto us. He's trying to sanctify us on the inside, getting us cleaned up. He's that, it's like he's the potter at the wheel saying, come on. We're thinking there's more rocks than clay here, Lord. Lord, where's the clay? There's no more. But that's okay. He'll take it. He'll take it. That's how merciful he is. He sanctifies us, working within us because he loves us and cares about us. Look, sanctification is a place and position to which the Holy Spirit strives to bring to each and every believer, but to which the believer cannot attain by his own ability and strength, which can only be done only by the Holy Spirit. Setting us apart can only be done by the Holy Spirit. The working on the inside can only be done by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, Joe, do this. Thank you, Lord. Joe, that wasn't good. That's not right. Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. Joe, I want you to go to this chapter or this verse in this book, and I want you to read this and do and apply this. Okay, Lord. See, that's the Spirit of the Lord sanctifying, cleaning us up. And no one's perfect, people. But that's a God that is merciful and graceful unto us. Say, let me work. Let me work. How many times has God put things upon our hearts and we stopped him? Not a good place. And we stopped him. The Lord's working and he says, Joe, I want you to give this up. And we think, well, Lord, this is my prized possession here. I can't give that up. And we play like we hadn't heard. Huh? Yeah. That's the truth, people. We play like we haven't heard him speak to us. We play like he hasn't even spoken. But we don't realize that a part of our heart becomes hard. And we don't want that. You might say, well, Pastor, are we going to hit it every time? And every time he speaks? Probably not. But this is what we do is, when we don't hit it right, we get on our knees and we ask God to forgive us. When we get it right, we thank God that he's used us. Because he can use a donkey and he can use a rooster. So he sure can use humanity. So we thank him for what he can do, sanctifying us. Taking those things out that need to be taken out, people. We got to lay upon the altar of God and let God work. And that takes time with him so he can work in us. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to work and to move. This is the deal. And it will not happen. We want God to work on our time schedule. Lord, if I give you 10 minutes, you've got to do what you got to do. And if you don't do what you got to do, that's just tough. You'll have to wait till next week. That's not a mentality we need to have. We need to have the mentality, Lord, whatever you want to do. I don't understand it. But Father, I humble myself before your mighty throne, Lord. Do a mighty work in us and through. The scripture says, whoever lays their life down before him, he will exalt in due time. But the scripture says, whoever lifts themselves up, God will bring back down. And so we want to be humble people as best as we know how, letting the Spirit of God work, letting him work. I know there are things in probably each and every one of your lives and my life that has us tangled in some area. It's time to be untangled. It's time to say, Lord, I'm tired of this thing. Whatever failure, whatever area it is, Lord, I'm tired of this. And the Lord lets us get to that place of being tired of it so we can come to him. And Lord, by your blood that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross, untangle those things.